church has a certain philosophy, a certain way of doing things. If you don't have a singular vision and a laser focus, and then the church goes a million different directions and never does anything for the kingdom of God of significance. And one of the things that we want to see at Coastline is we want to have a laser focus here. We want to know where God is taking us, know where God is bringing us. We want to be on the same page, the same heartbeat, the same language, the same spirit, all behind the same vision. Because when forces come together, it's that old military battle technique of force concentration. You attack the enemy at their greatest point of weakness with your greatest point of strength. And to do that, there has to be a unifying of spirit, a unifying of heart, a unifying of vision. And so one of the things we're doing at our church is every month we're going to have this course right here called Coastline DNA, because we want people to understand us. We want people to know what is our mission. On Sundays, you can't get into the full detail of everything that's going on here, so we have these courses. One of our catchphrases here, if you look at our business card, one of our kind of our mottos and our theme for the year is a simple church in a complex world. We want to be a simple church in a complex world. What does that mean? Well, at the core root of that, that means we value people. Think about it. We want to be a simple church in a complex world. That means we value the people that come to Coastline. We value the individual. We don't want to overcomplicate the church. We don't want the church to be another burden in an already complex life. I mean, any of you that have a family and have a children know how complex life can become. You have different schedules, you've got different sporting events, you've got different extracurricular activities. Life can become very hectic, very complex, very fast. The church doesn't need to do anything to add extra burden to that. We have a philosophy here of being a simple church. Instead of doing a whole bunch of stuff average, let's find a couple things and be great at a couple things. That is our public goal. That is our public statement. It's on our business card. Simple church in a complex world. So if your friends ask you about Coastline, memorize that statement. We are a simple church in a complex world. And as you see our efforts, as you see the direction, as you see the systems beginning to take place here, they all revolve around that philosophy. One of our internal goals is we want to be a church with the Father's heart. That's one of our personal passions, one of our internal goals. That's not necessarily something we're going to put on a business card, but that's something that everything we do, we want to line up with being about the Father's heart. A couple weeks ago, during the Why Jesus Hates Religion series, we talked about a lot of churches will either have the spirit of the older brother or they'll have the heart of the father in the story of the prodigal son. The older brother liked to stand outside. He liked to criticize from afar. He didn't want to celebrate the return of the prodigal. You know, he liked the way it was. And the reality is there's a lot of churches in America that have that spirit. They like the way it is. They don't want to change. They don't want to see people saved. They don't want the church to grow, because for it to happen, they have to be willing to get uncomfortable. They have to be willing to allow change. They have to be willing for the prodigal to come home and to celebrate the prodigal. Well, our heart is about the Father. We want to celebrate the prodigal. That's why we believe the Father's house should be a celebration. If you come to a Sunday morning here, you'll experience an excitement. You'll experience an energy. You'll experience a celebration atmosphere. Why? Because we want to celebrate the goodness of God. We have prayer meetings that become very serious around here. We've got discipleship and times where we get into the Word, but Sunday morning at Coastline is a celebration. We want our people to trust us. We want you to feel comfortable to bring an unsaved friend or an unsaved neighbor to our church, and they're not going to get, one, any weirdness or craziness, or two, any boringness or deadness, and three, no religion. We want people to come to an atmosphere that's fun, that's exciting, that's a celebration, that's centered around the heart of God, centered around salvation. One of the things you'll have noticed recently is every Sunday we give people an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because we want people to trust us. A lot of people don't bring unsaved people to church because they don't believe they'll have a chance to respond to Christ. I want to train our church that if you bring somebody, every week they will have an opportunity to hear a clear salvation message and an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. That's one of our values. That's one of our missions here on Sunday morning, is to make sure people have a chance to hear about Christ. Let's talk about, you know, as a church, you know, the whole simple church concept. It's all about finding what you can do the best. Instead of doing a whole bunch of things average, what can we become great at? What should our focus be? What should our reputation be? And there's a couple different levels. There's one, what should our focus be for outreach? Instead of supporting 100 different organizations, what would take place if we began to partner with one or two and really had a kingdom partnership and put all of our energy into one or two things to see the explosion? Well, also, as a church, the church life, what are the things that we want Coastline to be known for in this community? What's the reputation that we want to create? What's the perception that we want to create in this community about our church? Well, we prayed and we've sought God over it. And two of the things that I really feel as a pastor that we want to create a perception on and make it an honest perception, not a false perception, but an honest perception on who we are is, number one, we're all about men. We are a church that men love. We want to be a masculine church. We want to be a man church. Why? Because I see a lot of women who go to church without their husbands, but I hardly ever see a husband that goes to church without his wife. If you reach the man, you reach the entire family. And let's be real honest, and some of the women will tell you this, and I don't think it's offensive at all. What do women want more than anything else? They want a church their man loves. At the end of the day, women don't care if you've got flowers on the stage. They want a church the men love going to. They want a church their men will go to, they will grow at, they will be changed at, they will become what Christ called them to be. So as you notice, a lot of the titles for our series are masculine. We use very strong language. Why Jesus hates religion. Dangerous church. We're doing that intentionally. Because we're trying to create an atmosphere that men feel comfortable in. Because for many years, and we're going to do a whole series in June called Why Men Hate Church, on how, to be honest, we have feminized church over the last 20, 30 years in America. We have feminized church. We put feminine paintings on the wall. We put feminine flowers all over the place. Now, fortunately, here at Coastline, it's not an overly feminine church, but a lot of churches I go to have a very feminine atmosphere. And I'm not against, you know, having feminine atmosphere for certain things. Like, you know, when we have women's events here, I want it to be girled out as much as possible. Paint the building pink if you want to. You know, I want our women to know how much we love them and value them. And those of you that were at the Christmas women's event will know that we value women here. But our Sunday experience, our church experience, we want to be about men. Not that we're going to neglect women or neglect anything. You understand what I'm saying? I plan on having a woman speaker every couple months at our church because I believe it's important to have a woman's voice in the pulpit. They bring a dynamic to the gospel that a man every week, and you know, to be honest, people get tired of me every week. So it's good to have change. It's good to bring somebody in that can give a different perspective on things. But we want to be a men's church. And then number two, we want to be a church about children. We want to be known for the excellence in the area of children. We're working very hard to renovate our children's facility. Annie and Richard and the entire team have really been, you know, going above and beyond to develop the systems, to develop the structures, to develop the atmosphere, to develop the facilities. We want to become famous in this community for our excellence in children. We want to be known as a church that is all about excellence in regards to children. We want that to be the safest building in town on Sunday morning. We want it locked down like Fort Knox. Background checks on every single person that works in there. Cleanliness. It is sterilized. It is clean. The program is a God-centered program to impact the life of a child. It's not Sunday school. It's church. They are coming to church. They are coming to a God encounter on Sunday, and we want to be known for the excellence in the area of children. So those are two things that I really have prayed and really feel that is what God wants us to focus on this next year, being a church that's all about men and being a church that is excellent in regards to children. And I think you understand, women, what I'm talking about, and I think it makes sense to you. We're not going to neglect the women here. You know that. But we want to reach your husbands. We want to build a church that your husbands can become the man of God he created them to be. We want to be a church where your friends' husbands that, you know, have completely disconnected from the house of God will come back to because it's an environment they love. I met with one of our members this morning, Kip Putterbaugh, who's one of the premier golf coaches in all of North County and really all of America, and we're developing an entire series in July on golf. We got one message on the mulligan. We got one message on out of bounds, one message called on the fringe. We're going to design the entire stage in AstroTurf, build a putting green on stage, and we're telling people, we will lower your golf score if you come to our church in July. It's going to be a great Sunday experience, but they're powerful message. The message on the fringe. Imagine, you know, quick illustration, just to, you know, this is a quick commercial to get you excited about July. My pastor, Tommy Barnett, did a golf contest, which was closest, a par three, closest to the pin wins a car. He shot it 3 feet from the pin. Just knew he won. The next closest person was 12 to 15 feet out. They got up there, ready to receive the car, and somebody pulled out the rule book and said, the rules state you have to be on the green. He was an inch away from the green on the fringe. 3 feet from the cup, but on the fringe. And I thought, imagine standing before God one day, being a good person, being this close, but yet you're on the fringe. You never accepted Jesus. You are a good person. You are a religious person, but you are on the fringe. So it'll be a powerful message on salvation that day. So I'm excited about that. So that's you know, what we're about, men, children. What is the vision of Coastline? Well, to be honest, our vision is we want to build a life-giving, replicable church model in the North County where we can help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We want to build a life-giving model of church that you can replicate, that we can plant other campuses throughout the North County, throughout San Diego, throughout Tijuana, a life-giving model of church, because I really believe there's a lot of people who would love coming to a church like this who don't want to make the drive. There's a lot of people tired of boring, dead, stuffy, religious churches that are just waiting for someone to show that church can be life-giving, church can be full of energy, church can be full of excitement. And I'm passionate about that. I think it's going to be a great thing. What's our mission? Well, you hear me say it all the time, make it hard to go to hell. That's our mission here. We want to make it hard for people to go to hell in this community. We want people to be so confronted with the love of God, so hear the message of God, the message of salvation, see the life and the believers of Coastline, that it's hard for your neighbors to go to hell if they live next to you. Why? Because the light of Christ emulates all around you. The light of Christ just burns inside of you, that when people get around you, your lifestyle compels people to become to Christ because they see something in you they want. They want to be like you. See, I want to build a church of Christians where people want to be like us. People see something in us that they don't have. They see life. They see joy. They see passion. They see something inside of us that the world longs for. People desire to be like us. You hear a lot of teaching in the church leadership world about, you know, learning to be relevant as a church. Well, I don't really want to be relevant. My job is not to relate to society. My job is to change society. I don't need to be relevant to the world. They should want to be like me. I should live such a lifestyle and have such a power and such a dynamic and such a life about me that the world wants to be like me. I'm the one changing them because of Christ in me. And if we really live the Christ-centered life where Christ just emulates out of us, we're going to live a life that people want to be like us. And that's our passion. Coastline Church exists to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus that they might become fully devoted followers of Christ. What is some of the culture here? Well, in short, we are a 3S culture. A 3S culture. What does that mean? We are all about services, small groups, and serving. If you look at everything in our church, they basically fall into one of those categories. We have services. Sunday morning, we've got powerful services, life-giving services, an expression of Christ, a family, a celebration, small groups. We have multiple life groups to join, men life groups, women life groups, activity life groups, Bible study life groups, prayer life groups. We want people finding a community here. As the church grows larger, we have to grow smaller. That's just a must. As we grow larger numerically on Sunday, which is our mandate as a New Testament church, We have to grow smaller in community. The way we do that is through life groups, creating communities for people to join, creating little groups that people can find a place to connect, find a place to belong, find a place to serve, find a place to get involved. There's a certain language that we're adopting here. One of the things I've been really tough on the staff about is your vocabulary, your language, using certain phrases around here. Because the reality is the power of life and death is in the tongue. You can limit yourself or you can increase yourself by the words and the phrases you use and choose. I was in a meeting the other day and somebody made a statement a number of times, and it was, what was the statement again? It was easier said than done. And I said, you should never use that statement. You should outlaw that statement from your vocabulary. I don't ever want to see anyone on the coastline staff or a coastline leader ever use the statement easier said than done, because you're limiting yourself. All you're doing is speaking limitations into your life. You're limiting yourself. People walk around saying, oh, I'm so busy. You should never say you're busy. You're not too busy. God will give you grace to accomplish every task. Or people say, well, you know, I just got too much on my plate. Get a bigger plate. You don't have to carry around that little tiny, you know, dinky coffee plate the rest of your life. Get a bigger plate. It's easy. What are some of the other languages? Well, the best is yet to come. That's something that you'll hear a lot around here. The best is yet to come. Why? Because we're a people of faith. We just believe God wants great things for this church. I just believe God wants great things for our people. I want people to come into an atmosphere of faith. I want people to come into an atmosphere of expectation. I want the attitude of our church to be, this is going to be the greatest Sunday ever. This is the greatest Sunday ever. This will be the most exciting Sunday we'll ever have at this church. And every Sunday should be the most exciting Sunday of the history of this church, because we should get more exciting every single week. We should see God move in great ways every single week. Think about it. People in this world right now are facing every type of demon from hell. They're facing every type of challenge, every type of problem. You go to work with people that are just dead and draining, and they suck the life out of you. And then you come to a church and people expect us to be the same way. I said, I don't want to do that. I want to be a church that people can walk into an atmosphere of faith. They can walk into an atmosphere of expectation. I want there to be such an expectation of what God is going to do in this place every single Sunday that people come and they get changed, they leave inspired, they get filled. Because at the end of the day, what is the church? We're a gas station. That's all we are. We are created to be a gas station, not a resort. We are a gas station. People pull in on Sunday. They get filled up with the fuel, with the fire, with the passion, with the faith of God to go and live out the rest of the week. That's what church is all about, to empower people. You know, Ephesians says the job of the pastor, my role, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So my job on Sunday is to equip people, to empower people, to ignite people. And one of the greatest ways of equipping people is igniting faith in people's spirit. Because the reality is the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot more for you than Aaron Jane can do. And if I can ignite your faith and teach you how to connect your faith and tether your faith to the Holy Spirit, you're going to be unstoppable in life. And that's the goal of our Sunday experience. So one of the other phrases that we're adopting here is we are a get-to church, not a have-to church. There's a lot of churches where the volunteers, well, we have to be there at 8, and we have to serve on Sunday, and we have to work in the kids' ministry, and we have to. No, you don't have to do anything at Coastline. No one at this church has to do anything. You get to do it. You are honored to do it. It is your blessing to serve in the house of God. And I love that attitude. I love that atmosphere that we don't need volunteers at Coastline. You've heard me, I've had to correct myself because I'm training myself to get rid of the word need in my vocabulary. Why? Because the Bible tells me my God shall supply all of my needs. So I don't have needs, we have wants. We've got desires, we've got incredible opportunities for people. But see, that's why we're so passionate about creating a leadership culture here. You'll see the Leadership for Life course that we're launching in March, which I encourage every single one of you to go through Leadership for Life at least one time. We're going to be holding it 6 to 7 times a year, and it's the most dynamic biblical leadership teaching and training that you'll get anywhere. It is powerful light. It'll benefit your marriage. It'll benefit your career. It'll benefit your job. It's how to think like a leader, how to walk like a leader. What is the attitude of a leader? What is the vocabulary of a leader? What's the commitment level of a leader? What's the heart of a leader? You want to go to the Leadership for Life course because it's going to be life-changing, and we want to create a leadership culture here because every person at Coastline is a leader. Every person is a leader. Every person that calls themselves a follower of Jesus Christ is a leader at some capacity, and your responsibility to the body of Christ is that you develop your biblical leadership gifts so that you can serve in the body of Christ the way God has commanded and required you to serve. And so we want to be a church that helps people develop those leadership gifts. So we're a have-to church. We're a have-to. People all the time, they say, well, what time do I need to be there on Sunday? Well, what time do you need to be there to do your job excellently? That's the real question. You know, ushers say, well, what time do you want me there on Sunday? Well, what time do you need to be there to do your job in excellence? I don't need to spell it out in black and white in everything. Leaders have an understanding. Leaders have a commitment level. Leaders know what it takes to do the job. You know, things like, you know, when it says all church prayer, you don't have to come and ask, do you expect me to be there? Well, what does it say? It says all church prayer. Leaders don't have to ask those questions. Leaders know what they have to do their job in excellence. See, if I have to tell you what to do, then you're going to complain about it the whole time. You know, well, I got to be there at 8 o'clock and the pastor's making me be there at 8 o'clock. No, you get to be there at 8 o'clock. You get to serve people. You get to shake hands with people at those back doors. You get to sit in the parking lot and welcome people and love on people as they get out of the cars. You get to work in the children's facility and love on those children. We are giving people an incredible opportunity to serve the Lord. So really, at the end of the day, we're the ones that are giving people the opportunity. They're not benefiting us. We're actually benefiting them. And that's the attitude we have to have as leaders, and that's the attitude we have to have as a culture. Now, does that mean we don't appreciate people? Absolutely not. We appreciate the people that serve here. We love the people that serve here. But the reality is we're the ones giving them the opportunity. They're not doing us a favor by volunteering. And I want to make it very clear that the culture of Coastline is volunteers aren't doing us a favor. We love our volunteers. We appreciate our volunteers. But they're not doing us a favor. We're doing them a favor by letting them serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That makes sense? All right, just getting those cultural things out. Some of the other language of Coastline. We live big. We think big. We serve a big God. I want us to live lives that represent the God you serve. I want people to know because of your lifestyle that you serve a big God. You know, I want you to live the type of life that people say they have to serve a big God because there's no way they could do that in their own power. You know, the reality is everything I'm doing, there's no way I can pull it off on my own power. I need a big God to do what I do. And so we think big, we live big, we act big. There's just a bigness about us. Why? Because bigness makes a difference in the world. And we're not doing bigness for our own pride or for our own thing. We're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for the kingdom. We're doing it for souls. Because let's be honest, the bigger we grow, the more people go to heaven. See, people say, well, it's all about numbers. You're absolutely right. It is all about numbers. God wrote a book called Numbers. Why? Because every single number matters to Jesus Christ. Every number is an individual, a soul that Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died for. So guess what? It is about numbers. Because I'd rather see another person go to heaven than another person go to hell. And if that means we have to grow as a church, then that's what we're going to do, is grow as a church. If growing as a church results in more people going to heaven, then we're going to grow as a church. If getting smaller as a church would mean more people go to heaven, then our goal would be to get smaller. But we have a mission as a New Testament church to be healthy, to grow, to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go through just 10 quick values of Coastline so you can understand some of our thinking, some of our values as the leadership team. This is some cultural truths. Number one, we value love. We want to be an atmosphere of love. We want, you know, Jesus said, by this all men will know you're my disciple, your love for one another. Well, when you go to Best Buy, you wear a blue shirt. When you go to Starbucks, you wear the green apron. Everywhere you go in life, there is a uniform that symbolizes where you work, what you're a part of. If you work at Elite Services at the stadium, like Richard, you get the nice red jacket. We wear uniforms to symbolize. Eric was in the Marine Corps. He has to wear a uniform to work because that's the symbol of being in the Marine Corps. What is our symbol of being members of Coastline Church? What is your uniform as a member of Coastline Church? Your love for one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. Your love for one another. The uniform that we as a church expect you to put on every day is your love for one another. Your love for one another. We want to be a church that is about love. We want to be an atmosphere where we guard each other's back. If someone talks negatively about somebody in our church, we stop it right there. We are not about gossip here. We are not going to allow gossip. We are not going to allow slander. We're not going to allow divisiveness. We're not going to allow that to creep in and infect our church. We are about love. We will protect each other behind their backs. We will brag about each other behind their backs. We will love each other behind their backs and to their face. And imagine, what would happen if this church developed a reputation in this community that if you are a part of this church, there are people that will die for you. There are people that will love you. There are people that will guard your back. There are people that will love you to your face. There are people that will protect you behind your back. What would happen if we developed that reputation of love in this community? You wouldn't be able to keep people out of here. Because people are tired of getting stabbed in the back. People are tired of being slandered and gossiped about. It's so funny. We were meeting with a pastor yesterday. He was telling us, you know, people come up and say, well, there's some stuff going on here that we want you to know about. And he just stops them right there. He said, well, listen, what you need to do before you tell me is you need to go and repent for the sin of gossip. And you need to go tell everyone in your little group that you guys need to repent for gossip because you're talking about people behind their back and talking about issues behind their back. And you need to repent of gossip before you ever share what your concerns are with me. And that's the truth. We are not about gossip. We are about love. We are about loving one another. You know, if I hear people slandering about people or talking bad, you want to get me fired up as a pastor, you can ask the team. We had, you know, a situation a week ago where someone said something negative about one of the staff members, and I was about to punch him in the nose. I mean, that's how mad I was. Why? Because I want to protect our church. I want to protect our team. I love this group of people. You know, and I don't want an ugly atmosphere here. I want an atmosphere of love in this church. And so part of the DNA of this place is love. We value love. Our uniform is love. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, your love for one another. So help me create that DNA here. We value people. I talked about that a second ago. We're not going to apologize for being about numbers. Why? Because every number is an individual that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for. So our mission is to rescue as many people from hell as we can. We value financial stewardship here. There's been a lot of mishandling of finances throughout the world in recent years, from Wall Street to churches to everything on down. We value financial stewardship here, and I'm going to talk about some of our checks and balances and our systems here in a minute. We value the power of the Holy Spirit here. We realize that we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to live in us, to work through us, to guide us, to lead us, direct us. I am not smart enough to lead this thing. I need the Holy Spirit, and that's why we have all church prayer. That's why we've got prayer life groups. That's why we're about prayer here. We value audacious faith. We want there to be an audacity to our faith. We just believe that God's going to do big things here. There's something about audacity that God loves. You look at Jacob and Esau in the Bible. Jacob stole the birthright. He was aggressive. He went out, grabbed it, took it, fought for it, lied, manipulated to get it. And what did our fair and just God do? Give it to him. There's something about audacity that God likes. God likes audacious faith. God likes people that say, "Sun, stand still." And the sun stood still for Joshua. There's something about that audacious faith that God likes. God wants us, you know, God wants us to ask big things of him. He wants to do incredible things. He wants to do miracles. He's got all this power just waiting for us to connect to. So he's looking for someone. That's why Hebrews says, come boldly into the throne room. You don't have to crawl into the presence of God wondering whether or not you belong there. You know, have you ever seen a grandchild walk into his grandfather's office? They don't crawl in wondering if grandfather's going to accept me and grandfather, I hope you're not. No, they just run right into granddad's office, jump right up in his lap. Doesn't matter who he's meeting with, what he's in the middle of. There's an audacity to this grandchildren. They just walk right in and act like they belong there. Why? Because they do. And what God wants of us is people that just walk in, act like we belong there because we do. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Christ did on the cross. See, when he died on the cross, he gave us the right to come boldly. He gave us the right to have audacity. He gave us the right to be audacious in our faith and to ask great things of God. I mean, just think about that one truth. The power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive in you. How many of us are really living like that? See, we want to value audacious faith here. Value generosity. We want to be a generous culture. We really believe in being generous with our compliments, being generous with our love, being generous with our time, being generous with our finances. That's when we have, you know, teams like the Haiti Orphanage here. We're going to take a generous love offering for them. We want to invest in them. We want to be a part of what God's doing in their life. We believe in generosity, and that is a core value of this place. That's something I saw long before I became the pastor of Coastline. One of the core staples of this place is this is a generous, generous house. We value excellence. We believe everything your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Let's be excellent at everything. You're seeing a transformation of this campus every single week. From a Vicky this week going out and getting the most beautiful stainless steel trash cans you've ever seen, cost effective, but yet beautiful. Why? Because we want to have excellent trash cans at Coastline. We want to have excellent bathrooms at Coastline. I want to have the cleanest bathrooms of any church in our community. I want to be excellent in every single area. I want to be excellent in our services. That's why I don't like dead time in the service. You know, we have a plan. We plan. We organize. You know, it takes more faith to listen to God during the week than it does to show up on Sunday without a plan and just expect the Holy Spirit to bail you out. So we seek God during the week. God, what do you want to do Sunday morning? We plan out our series ahead of time. We plan out the videos. We plan out, we rehearse the transitions of the music team. Why? Because we want to be excellent in everything we do. We value people. You know, if we waste a minute of somebody's morning, we just told that person we really don't care about you. We want to value. One of the things we're doing is we're starting on time. I told Tim, you start on time. It doesn't matter if no one's in the building. You start on time because if we tell people we start at 9 a.m. and we start at 9:05, we've already lied to them. We've already lied to them. So now how do they believe what we have to say in the gospel is true? So we're going to be excellent in everything we do. We have a standard of excellence that we are striving for, that we are trying to live up to, that everything we do, we believe just as Christians, we need to be better than the world. We need to be more excellent than the world. Things here should be more beautiful. Why? Because we take pride in it. And it's not because we pay people to do it. It's because we've got committed people who love serving in the house of God to make everything we do excellent. We value excitement. We want there to be a Holy Spirit excitement to our church, that people leave here uplifted. They're inspired. They're excited. Their faith is energized. Their spirit is energized. They have enough in the world beating them up. The church doesn't mean to be one of those other things beating them up. We want people to have fun in church. We want people to look forward to coming on Sunday morning more than they look forward to anything else in their life, because they know if they can get here Sunday, there's going to be an excitement. God's going to meet them here. There's going to be a faith encounter. There's going to be something powerful that takes place. We value our words. I talked a little bit that a second ago. We are very intentional with our vocabulary. We don't just waste words or throw words out. We speak because our words frame our world, the Bible says. Your words frame the world. When God created the world, he didn't think the world into existence. He spoke the world into existence. Our words have power. You are either speaking death over your situation or life over your situation, and we choose to speak life. We choose to frame our world with big words because we serve a big God. We value leadership, the last point. We talked a lot about leadership here. We're having Leadership for Life that's launching in March, an intense four-week leadership course. We're going to be launching, Hillsong FaithWorks College in the fall, which is a two-year Bible college. It's not a full-time Bible college. It's a two-hour-a-week Bible college. three semesters a year. Each semester is 12 weeks. It's developing leaders. It's the first year is all on foundation in the Word of God, basic theology, doctrine. Second year is all on intense church leadership. Let me go through a little bit of the leadership at Coastline. I know a lot of you know most of us. Some of you may not. My name is Aaron Jane. I'm the senior pastor here. Susan Barth in the back is our executive administrator. She runs the whole office and keeps me straight so I don't, kill everyone. She's awesome, amazing woman of God. Vicki Bonine, who's in the back, she oversees all of our life groups and first impressions, another dynamic, awesome woman of God. Richard Mooberry is our children's director, oversees the children's team with Annie and all Barbara and all the other workers down in the children's department. Zach Beck works with our senior high youth here. Lindsay Barth works with our middle school youth. Tim Shaw, who many of you have seen on stage, he's our worship leader. And then Tom Page, who's struggling with sickness tonight, probably throwing up in the back. I shouldn't say that too loud. Poor guy. Just pray for Tom tonight. We'll pray for him at the end. He runs all of our media team, PowerPoint, videos, light screens. Let's talk a little bit about the people who want to call themselves members at Coastline, the faithful, the people who consider Coastline their home. What is our expectations of people who want to call Coastline home? Whether they consider themselves a member, whether they just attend here, whether they just say, this is my home, this is where I'm coming every week. Number one, we want people to find a community. We want you to find a community within Coastline. Whether that's a life group, there's a variety of life groups, or whether that's joining one of the serve teams. We want you to find a community. Plug into a community. You will not flourish in a church if you're not plugged in. You got to plug in somewhere. So either join a serve team, a volunteer in the parking lot, volunteer as an usher, be a part of the First Impressions team, the Sunday team. We need to start recruiting an Easter team. We probably need about 100 people to join our Easter team. We're going to have a pretty incredible Easter Sunday experience, and I need about 100 people, or not need, I have an opportunity, for about 100 people to join us on our Easter team to serve on Easter Sunday. So we have a lot of areas to serve, so find a community. Two, one of our desires is we would love to see every member go through Leadership for Life at least one time. Why? Because every member has leadership gifts. Every member can go to a next level through leadership. We just launched this course at a friend of ours' church in Corona, California. And in his church, there's a guy who works with Tony Robbins, is one of Tony Robbins' main consultants and coaches, handles all the high-level business people that like the motivational stuff of Tony Robbins. He attended week one of Leadership for Life. At the end of it, he came up, he said, I've never in my life, and this guy's worked with Tony Robbins for 12 years, he coaches high-level businessmen, he said, I've never in my life heard leadership taught like this. This is the most powerful leadership principles I have ever heard. It is clear, it has challenged me. I learned new stuff tonight. Why? Because it's biblical leadership. The greatest leadership you will ever find is biblical leadership, principles in the Word of God to develop your leadership giftings. Three, we want the people who call Coastline home to represent Christ and Coastline well. We want you to be a representative of Christ in the community. Be an honest business person. Have integrity, have accountability, have a walk in your life that represents Christ well. Number four, we want people to be very honest about their spiritual condition, no matter where they're at, and we want them to commit to grow. It's very simple. We don't want perfect people here. One of our other mottos here is this is a no perfect people allowed church. We don't want perfect people. If you're perfect, there's plenty of beautiful churches down the road for you. We are no perfect people at church. We want people to be honest about where they're at. We don't care. We don't care if it's a person just getting off drugs or struggling with this or that. We just want them to be honest with their spiritual condition and make a commitment to grow. We don't expect them to be at a certain level. We're not requiring them to be at a certain level. We just ask that people be honest. Just be honest with where you're at. Just be honest with where you're at. Make a commitment to grow in Christ. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter where you begin. All that matters is that you make a commitment to grow and be honest about where you're at. And this is an environment where you will be loved, you will be accepted, and you will be given the tools to grow from the point you begin to where God wants you to be. And then number five, we want people to tithe. That is the bare minimum requirement of being a believer in calling a church home. I know people get very uncomfortable when I talk about money in the church. Why? Because money is a false god. and you talk about somebody's God, they get very uncomfortable. And don't get mad at Aaron Jane right now. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Tithing is bare minimum. And what is tithing? Tithing is a redemptive principle. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. For you either hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, the biblical translation of mammon was an ancient Syrian god. It was the Syrian god of riches. It's actually the god that the Antichrist will use to rule the world one day if you study it out. Why? Because the Antichrist will not rule the world through fear of nuclear threat. He'll rule the world through financial insecurity. You have to take the mark of the beast so that you are able to buy and to sell. So that is what mammon is. Jesus said you can't serve God, you can't serve the true God, and you can't serve the God of money or the God of riches. And so when I, as a pastor, talk about the tithe in the church, people get very uncomfortable. Why? Because I'm talking about their God, because money is a false God for many people, because money promises security, which only God can provide. Money promises luxury. Money promises all these things that they just can't fulfill. And so what Jesus says is the tithe is actually a test. The tithe is not about giving. The tithe is a test of the heart. And that's where people get it wrong. See, most people think the tithe is about money. The tithe isn't about money. It's about your heart. The tithe is about your heart. Study it. You can download it from our website. Go to week number 2 of the Blessed Life series last November, and you can download, listen to the entire message. You can talk to me personally. I'll email you the notes because I love you and I want you to get this. Tithe is not about money. It's about heart. It is a test of your heart. It's one of the few ways you can prove that you put God first. And one of the things, you know, one of the accountability items of our elders is elders are required to tithe. Leaders are required to tithe. Jesus said, if I can't trust you with this, how can I trust you with true riches? Well, what are true riches? People. The lives of people. You know, how many of you want robbers and thieves working in the church? I don't. And it's very clear. It's black and white. It's in the Word of God. I'd love to sit down with you more and talk about it, but tithe is a redemption principle. This is basically what the tithe is about. Jesus says, give me the first tenth, the first 10%, so that the remaining 90% can be blessed and be redeemed from the curse of mammon. You can't serve God and you can't serve mammon. All money either has the spirit of God or it has the spirit of mammon. You return that. And the other thing is, this is why tithing is not about giving. You cannot give a tithe. You cannot give your tithe to the church. Why? Because it's not yours. You can only give something that belongs to you. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. So what the Bible actually says is we return the tithe to the house of God. You return the tithe to the house of God. You don't give it. You return it because it doesn't belong to you. That's why the Bible says if you don't return the tithe, you're robbing God. And this is not my opinion. This is not what I think. This is black and white in the Bible. I'd love to show it to you. You return the tithe. Why? Because it takes faith to live off a 90% blessed as opposed to 100% cursed. Your option. You can live on 100% of your finances cursed, or you can live on 90% of your finances blessed. That's what the Word of God says. Your option, your choice. And I would rather live off a 90% blessed. I would rather pass the heart test and say, listen, I am willing to trust God. See, that's the funny thing. We'll trust God for the salvation of our soul. Have you ever wondered that? People will trust God for their eternity. You'll trust God for forever in heaven or hell, but we can't even trust Him with 10% of our money. But we can trust Him that we're not going to go to hell. See, it's so funny how Christians think. You know, it's funny. Anytime you talk about money, you see Christians make up their own rules. They make up their own rules that are completely contrary to the Bible. So anyways, I don't want to stay on there all night, but I want you to know what we expect of people who call Coastline home. That is an expectation of people that call Coastline home. That is the bare minimum. 10%, you return it faithfully. Why? Because it's not yours, it's God. It's a test of your heart. And please, if you have questions and you really want to understand it, set up an appointment with me, set up an appointment with one of the elders. We would love to sit down and really explain it to you, because I don't want you to tithe because someone told you to tithe. I want you to tithe because you understand the redemptive power of it. You understand the blessing of it. You understand the biblical principle of it. I want you to get it like you get salvation. I don't want you to do it because you feel manipulated or because you feel pushed into doing it. I really want you to understand it the way you understand your salvation. Assimilation of Coastline. How do you get involved with Coastline? If you have a friend that starts coming to church, how do they get involved? What do they do? How do we start? Well, there's a certain phrase that we're beginning here at Coastline that you're going to start hearing an awful lot. You're going to see it in publication. You'll see it on our website. You'll see it in print. We are a church where if somebody wants to get involved, it's easy. First step, next step, or big step. That's how you get involved with Coastline. First step, next step, big step. I said earlier, one of our goals is to be a simple church in a complex world. One of the ways to do that, first step, next step, big step. That's how difficult Coastline is. That's the complication of Coastline. First step, next step, big step. That's all you need to memorize. First step, next step, big step. Someone wants to get involved? Great. First step, next step, big step. And you can take any step at any time. You don't have to do the first step first. You can start with the big step. You can start with the next step. Doesn't matter where you begin. First step, next step, big step. So let's talk about it. What is first step? DNA class. That's the first step of Coastline. The DNA class. That's step one. So you're taking step one right now. You are in first step tonight. That's all first step is. So if someone, you know, that's all you got to remember. First step is the DNA class. What's the next step? The next step is join a life group or join a serve team. That's it. Pretty simple. What's the big step? The big step is a 4-week course called Leadership for Life or a 4-week course called Foundations. We have a lot of people who are just beginning their walk with Christ, and we want to teach them the foundational truths of the Christian life. It's a 4-week course. We're going to do Foundations 6 times a year. We're going to do Leadership for Life 6 times a year. And those are the big step. Why? Because why is it a big step? Because it's a 4-week commitment. The foundations, how to read the Word of God, how to pray, how to develop a Christian life, how to walk in character integrity. It is the foundations of being a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the big step. And if you think about Coastline, absolutely pretty much every single thing we do falls into one of those things. First step, next step, big step. Why? Because in the next step, the serve teams, they cover our outreaches. They cover our Sunday teams, our first impression teams, our children teams. The life groups is the life of the church. And the only additional thing we have outside of first step, next step, big step are our events. We're going to have a man conference once a year. We'll have a women's conference. We'll have a marriage conference. We'll have a youth camp, a youth retreat. We're going to have a financial stewardship seminar this summer to teach people how to get out of debt, how to balance a budget, how to manage their money wisely. So we'll have different events throughout the year, but they're events. They're outside of the normal activity of the church. Coastline is a simple church. We are a church of the first step, the next step, and the big step. That's all you got to remember. Someone starts coming to church with you, they say, what do I do now? First step, next step, or big step? Go to the DNA class, join a serve team, join a life group, go to foundations, go to a leadership for life. That's our entire church. That is who we are at Coastline. And then we're looking at our focuses for this year. We're praying about it with our outreach people right now. Tijuana is becoming a major priority. It's a major priority of my heart. It's developing as a major priority of this church this year, where we're going to have a strong a church in Tijuana that we're partnering with, that will have the extension of Coastline Tijuana developing this year. And then we're praying about the next possibility, and I can't talk about it too soon, but there's a very real possibility we could plant Coastline Oceanside later this year and have a thriving church in Oceanside, develop one of the largest food banks in Oceanside, do some exciting stuff there. Nothing is being planned or in the works right now. Everything is in seed stage and prayer stage, but that's some of the exciting things. Let me take you through our financial chart quickly. Do we have the PowerPoint ready to go? And we'll wrap up in about 5 to 10 minutes, and then you guys can ask questions and go pick up your children. Awana gets out at 7:30, so we'll be done here probably about 7:10. The Coastline Financial Report, I want to talk a little bit about our financial stewardship here so you understand our accountability, you understand our budget, you understand our goals. Our objectives at Coastline, the goal of Coastline is to be good stewards of the Lord's resources. We are held accountable to the Lord. Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded or required. We are accountable, not just for every dollar, but we are accounted for every single penny people give to the house of God. We want to be the best stewards we can possibly be. We want to make sure we don't waste 1 cent. We are transparent. We are an open book. We are prudent in how the resources are spent. The finance team and I and the elders and I, we've been going for a few months developing the budget for 2011 and making sure that we are spending wisely, that we have our targets, that we have our goals, that we are not wasting. We are cutting expenses all over the place so that we can be more efficient, so that we can invest more in advancing the kingdom of God, in advancing the church in this community. We got to be faithful in what the Lord has provided. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. I believe God is in the process of blessing this church. I believe there's favor that's coming on this church, and we want to be good stewards in how we handle that so that God can trust us with more. What's the accountability of us? Well, we have the board of elders. We have 8 of us elders, the senior pastor, and 7 men of our church are the elders here. They are your board of directors. They oversee real estate matters. They oversee the annual budgets. They oversee the spiritual health of the church. Those are your elders. They are who I, the senior pastor, am a member of, but I am also accountable to. Under myself is the staff of the church, and then connected to us, we have a separate finance committee so that there are checks and balances here. So it's not just the elders. We have a separate finance committee, and then we have the board of elders to create the checks and balance system to make sure the finances are handled right. And our finance committee are the most world-class, godly men and women that you have ever met. They're absolutely financial geniuses. This church was able to recently refinance our mortgage note in today's economy with the history of this church should have been impossible. Should have never happened except for the fact that we have such excellence in our finance team that they were able to show the bank that we are good stewards, we are trustworthy, we handle things rightly. The bank actually said this church is one of the models of financial excellence in the church world in America because of the way they dot every I, cross every tree, audit everything. Everything is accountable and everything is by the book. We have a world-class finance team. Let's quickly look at the 2010 budget, the 2010 income, the tithe and offering in 2010 was $519,000. And then our rental revenue, because as you know, we rent out our facilities on Sunday night, Friday night, different points during the week for different tenants, was $85,000, bringing our 2010 income to $605,000. Our expenses in 2010 were $543,000, which gave us a surplus in 2010, which really can only be attributed to great stewardship. We live beneath our means. We do not overspend here. We are not the government. We can't print money when we need to print money. We live beneath our means. We plan wisely. One of our goals in finances is whatever, and this is a goal that is we plan on being at this point in the next 24 months, but whatever our previous year income is, our following year budget will always be 85% of the previous year income. For example, if 2010's income would have been $1 million, then the budget for 2011 would be $850,000. A lot of churches, they budget opposite. If their income is one, they budget higher, expecting the revenue to be higher the following year with growth. We are actually going the opposite direction so that every year we have a margin in case there's an economic crisis in America, or we have a margin in case there is excess that allows us to invest into our debt services, it allows us to invest into different capital projects or invest into different compassion projects. So we are budgeting very wisely. So whatever the current year income is, the plan is to budget the following year on 85% of the current year income. Look at the 2011 budget. We have increased the budget in 2011, which is the exact opposite of what I just talked about, but it was increased because we have hit current trends. If we maintain the current trends, this budget will probably be about 85 to 90% of what we expect 2011 income be. So the budget is actually much less than what we expect the income to be this year because we wanted to leave that margin. But it is more than the previous year because we are experiencing favor right now and growth right now, but we are being extremely conservative with our projections. Our projection for 2011 is $653,000. That is our projected income. The expense of this year is right at 60, $653,000. So we are basically budgeting what we expect to receive in income. If we maintain current trends, our income for 2011 will probably be near $700,000 to $750,000 if we maintain the current trend we're on. So there will be excess, which we're believing God for, that we can invest in different things wisely. The goal of our church is to get to the point where 30% of our income goes to salaries and to payroll. Most churches operate at 40%. Our goal is to be at 30%. We want to run a very lean staff here. We'd rather have fewer staff and care for the staff than to overstaff and get ourselves in a very bad position. So our goal is to be at 30%. Currently, we're at about 35% as far as our payroll. Now, again, these goals are two-year goals. Our facility goal is 35%. Our goal for all facilities, and that includes utilities, electricity, lights, debt services, all facilities, is 35%, which is about average for most churches. Our giving goal is 10% a year. We want 10% of all of our income to go outside of ourselves to other churches, to people we support in missions, to people we support in outreaches, to various projects. 5% of our income, our goal is to go into an endowment for the church so that we are continually saving, continually endowing our operations, always setting 5% for a rainy day. In the Bible, there's actually two tithes. We don't usually only talk about one in the church, but there's actually a second tithe in the Bible. It says to take a second 10%, set it aside for a rainy day. It's a great principle for people to live by. Take 10% of your income, put it into a long-term retirement fund, put it into a long-term mutual fund, take 10%, invest it in the house of God, live off of 80%, you're going to be very blessed at the end of your life, very blessed. I did the math the other day on an average mutual fund. If your annual income was $40,000 a year on average for a 40-year work life, they said the mutual fund, if you just obeyed the Bible, gave 10% to the house of God, 10% into a long-term mutual fund. They said the annual mutual fund of a 40-year life, if you just invested 10% of a middle to lower middle class salary, you would have $1.2 million in your mutual fund. And if you just lived off 6% of that the rest of your life, you'd have about $80,000 a year when you retired the rest of your life. So you would double your income retiring, not working. So it just makes sense. If you obey the Bible, you're blessed. That's just the way it works. Moving on, and then operations, 25%. We believe 25% of our income should go to ministry and operations, to operate, to reach people, to love people, to operate the church. If you look at the next chart, I know you can't even see these charts. We can email them to you if you'd like to see them in more detail. The next chart is just the comparative from 2010 to 2011. You can see, you know, we're expecting growth in 2011, but it's still very conservative to what our current trend is. And then the following chart is just the pie chart of where we are according to our goals. 35% is currently going to salaries, 12% is currently going to operations, 10% this year for the first time in a few years is going to giving. That's one of the things that we decided we were going to sacrifice other areas so that we as a church can give 10% outside of ourselves. That's a core value of mine. If we're not setting the example by tithing as a church, I can't expect people of Coastline to be faithful to the tithe. And then 43% of our budget this year is going to go to facilities, to debt services, utilities, insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So that's currently where we're at. As I said, we have a two-year goal to get to certain blocks, and I believe we will get there in 2 years. I believe as God increases the income this year, one of the things we're doing is we're not going to increase our budget expenses as the income increases. We'll increase slightly for certain projects and needs, but we are going to be very conservative in how we increase the budget based on the increase of the income. If you have any questions, Lee Heeb is with me tonight. He's one of our elders and the chair of the finance team. So he and myself will be happy to answer any questions you have. We're going to close now, but I'm going to stay here for a few minutes. If you have any questions, feel free to ask or come up and talk to me after we close. So let's just open it up for questions quickly. Does anyone have any questions? Or should we just... Let's dismiss, and if you have questions, come up to me. Lee will be here for a few minutes. If you have finance questions, you can come up to him or myself. Sorry, Lee, to put you on the spot like that. But Thank you guys so much. I'm going to close in prayer, but I really want to thank you for being here. This is important that we start getting the DNA implemented into the life of our church. There's a certain, you know, with every new senior pastor, there's a certain spirit, there's a certain attitude, culture, DNA that comes with the new pastor. I understand that. And I understand that I may not be like the former pastor or the founding pastor. We're probably radically different in our attitude and our personalities. I understand that. I understand not everyone likes my personality. Not everyone is connecting with who I am. That's fine too. But what we want to do is begin to teach the culture, teach the DNA, teach the heart of who we are and where we're going. And then people have the option on whether or not they say, okay, this is my church. I can believe in that culture. I can believe in that DNA. I like that spirit. I like that attitude. Or they can say, you know, I think maybe we need to find a church that's more suited to our personality and temperament. And you know what? To be honest, as a pastor, I'm fine with it. You know, the reality is I understand one of the things that I realized as a new pastor, one of the things that a dear friend of mine spoke to me, that the Holy Spirit spoke to him years ago, is not everyone likes Mexican food. Yo, and that's the truth. Not everyone likes Mexican food. God didn't call me to be a Luby's. He didn't call me to be a hometown buffet where everything's just average. He called me to be the absolute best at what he created me to be. And I have to realize if God called me to serve Mexican food, not everyone likes Mexican food. God called me to serve Italian food, not everyone likes Italian food. All I can be is what God created me to be. I can't be a buffet. Why? Because buffets are boring. They're normal and they're average. I got to be the greatest at what God created me to be. And I have to understand and be fine with the fact that not everyone likes what I'm going to serve as a pastor and as a leader. And the reality is churches take on, the life that is set by the vision that God gives the senior pastor. And I understand that. So I'm okay with that. I just want to be upfront and honest, let people know what our DNA is, where we're going as a church. We love people. And we want to see people saved. We're all about souls. We're about making it hard to go to hell. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that you've allowed me, God, it is one of the greatest privileges of my life to serve a community that I love so dearly, God, to be a part of what I consider to be the greatest church in the world, with the greatest people in the world. You've given us the most amazing, godly, wonderful elders. You've given us leaders that are passionate, staff that are excited about what you're doing here, God. You've given us a vision to bring the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, Lord. And I'm just excited, Father God, for this opportunity. And I pray every day, Lord, that I will just follow you, Lord, because it's not me, it's you. I'm not smart enough to pull this thing off, God. I need you. I depend on you. We want to build a house of prayer here, God, a place where we are dependent on the Holy Spirit for every step that we take, Lord. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. Lee, why don't you come up and join me if anyone has any questions?